Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to John chapter 1 this evening. John chapter 1. I'm going to be beginning a series on Sunday nights when I have opportunity to preach during the month of December, and tonight on the subject of the nature of Scripture. And I want to lay some foundation tonight before we actually get into the main themes that I want to bring out in regard to the Scripture. But I think it's important for us to understand and know that the Word and Jesus Christ are one. The Word and Jesus Christ are one. And there is the divine and there is the human. And it's interesting that it's the book of John that brings out this important teaching throughout the entire book. You know, the book of John is a very interesting book. It's not part of what we call the synoptic gospels, and that there are many things that John does not touch on that the other three Gospels give in chronological order. I want to give you some of those things. For instance, there's nothing about the birth of Jesus Christ in the book of John. There is no mention of Jesus' baptism. There is no mention of the temptation in the wilderness. There is no mention of the confrontations with demons that are found often in the three synoptic Gospels. There is no teaching of the parables in the book of John. There's no mention of the Last Supper, no mention of the agony in Gethsemane, and there's no mention of the ascension that's found there. And I think it's important for us to understand that distinction because there is a particular reason why God included the book of John in association with the Gospels concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, John centers on the gospel and what Jesus did and who He represented, that Jesus was from heaven. It's interesting when you read the book of John, and specifically when you get to John chapter 6, that 10 times it mentions that Jesus came from heaven. Jesus came from heaven. Very few times mentioned in the other gospels, other than at the birth of Jesus Christ. But John centers on that theme, that Jesus Christ is come from heaven 10 times in John chapter 6. And so there is a theme that is developed here. John showing that Jesus came from heaven. And this is important when we understand the Word. The Word came from where? It came from heaven. He came from heaven. And so we're going to emphasize this from this perspective as we look at this passage of Scripture. I want to read to you John chapter 1 and the first 14 verses. This is an important underlying theme that is brought out throughout the book of John, mentioned here in John chapter 1, and that is that Jesus Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now clearly this is a connection to the creation. All things that were created by the Word. It's interesting, if you go back to Genesis, in the first three chapters, it indicates there that Jesus spoke the Word, and there was light. He spoke the Word, and there was the earth and the water and the land. He spoke the Word, and creation was made. This is important to understand the great power that Jesus Christ has and the power of the Word. And folks, if you don't get anything else tonight, you need to understand that the Bible that you possess is Jesus Christ written. It's not just another book that you put on the bookshelf. The other books that you have in your library have no power, but this book does. This book tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 that it is quick, it is alive, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Don't ever treat this like another book. It is the Word of God. And I'm afraid today in our sophistication and in the way in which we live in this world today, we've lost the truth that this is the living Word of God, and you dare not go a day without it. I dare say that many of us did not skip meals today, but I wonder how many of us spent time in God's Word. That which gives life to you and to me. That Word which is life. Without the Word of God, you and I will not know how to deal with today's problems and troubles and difficulties and every situation that comes our way. Needless to say, we've all tried to do that. I have found over the years that days in which I didn't spend the appropriate amount of time in God's Word were days where I was shiftless and aimless. I didn't know how to deal. You say, well, I'm living on past blessings. Good luck with that. You can only go so far. You need life for today. You need the Word for today. Every hour of every day. You need the living Word. And what's happened to us? We find that we can make it without spending time in God's Word. How foolish. Verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, it makes a very clear distinction between John and Jesus. Amen? Very clear distinction. John was not the light, and yet he's referred to in John chapter 5 as a burning and shining light. But what was he doing? He was bearing witness of the true light, Jesus Christ. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray you'd bless the reading of your Word. And I pray, Father, that you would work in such a way in our hearts that we would once again, if we fail in this regard, to understand that the Word is Jesus Christ written. Lord, help us, Father, to realize that we need life. Yes, we have that life that comes through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God living within us, but we cannot live that life apart from the Word of God. I pray that you would instill once again the understanding and knowledge that your Word is life, and we must have it each and every day, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reminded of what John wrote to us in Revelation, if you'd like to turn there with me, in Revelation and chapter 19. The Bible tells us in verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Now notice this. And his name is called what? The Word of God. The Word of God, that's his name. The Word of God. You know, it's an amazing thing to me how many people love to name the name of Christ, but they don't love to spend time with the Word, who is Christ. There's some people that substitute books for the Word of God. They've got all kinds of books that they read, and they find good things in them. And there are a lot of good things in books. But what I have found is this, that God never promised to bless those books. He only promised to bless one book, and that's the Word of God. We have 66 books that God has left for us. They are called the revelation of all the understandings of the past, present, and future. The only way I know how this earth came into being is by this book. The only way I know that Jesus Christ created everything is by this book. The only way I know that the prophets of the Old Testament were testifying of one who would come is from this book. The testimony of the birth of Jesus Christ and that it was a virgin birth. I want you to know something. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ is not a theological debate term. It's truth. For you see, without the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, I don't have hope. You see, if Jesus Christ was not virgin born, then He's not the Son of Man. The Bible says He took upon flesh and dwelt among us, and it was through the virgin birth. If He had been born of just a human couple, He would have had a sin nature. There's no salvation in a man that has a sin nature. There's only salvation in a one who does not have sin nature, and that is Jesus Christ. He was born without sin. I'm thankful for that tonight. And I'm told about that in this book. I would not know it otherwise. I would not know of the cross of Calvary and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the tomb and the ascension back up into heaven and the promise that was made at that moment in history. As ye have seen Him go, He will again come in like fashion. He's coming back. I know that because the Bible says so. You know, you may scoff at the little children's song, but you know, the Bible tells me so is something that I cling to every day. How do you go up against the world of PhDs? And how do you go up against the world of all of these people who are highly educated that say that the Bible is false? I go up there in the power of God's Spirit and I simply say the Bible says so. If they do not accept it, John chapter 1's already dealt with that. He came unto His own and His own received Him not. They rejected Him. They crucified Him. Sent Him to a cross. But the way I know that all of these things are true are simply not because I've intellectually battled it out and I came out and I believe it's to be so. No, I simply bowed before God and exercised faith in His Word. Folks, that's how it's done. Simple faith that what God says is so. Not filtered through my mind, but simply, Lord, You've said it. And You've given me the power of Thy Holy Spirit to understand it. And I believe it. And that's it. And people that want to debate it are people that are struggling with faith. That's their struggle. They just can't believe that what God says is so. You know what we need to cry out to God for? Say, Lord, give me faith to cling to Your Word and to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Give me faith to increase and not be swayed by this world. Oh, the Bible is so rich. And the Word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. His glory is demonstrated in His Word. We beheld the grace and truth that came by Jesus Christ. The Old Testament prophets looked for that day when grace would come. We look back and we say, thank You, Lord, for bringing that grace. Because without grace, you and I have no hope. We have no hope. You know, grace is a wonderful thing, is it not? It's totally undeserved. It's not merited in any way, shape, or form. You know, it's an amazing thing to me as we consider life on this earth of how sometimes human beings do understand a little bit about grace. There have been times in my life when grace was administered to me and I didn't deserve it. When I should have gotten a ticket and I didn't. And an officer said to me, "I'm not going to write a ticket today." And I deserved one. I was going over the speed limit. I got pulled over. Gave me a ticket. There have been times when I got a ticket and I didn't deserve it. I got pulled over in one of those police thing where they have to make their credit for that month, how many people they can pull over. And the guy said I was following too close behind a vehicle. And I said, "You saw that way up there, that I was following too close to a vehicle back here?" I said, "Sir," I said, "I was not following too close, but he slammed on brakes in front of me and I stopped in plenty of time before him." And he said, "Oh, well, I'll just go ahead and increase the ticket a little bit." So I paid the ticket. I didn't deserve that, but I figured I was probably paying for all the times that I had to spend and got away with it, you know? There were some times growing up that I got spankings that I didn't think I deserved. How many of you feel that way? All right? Come on. Some of you that say,
"I was never spanked."
Well, God help you if that's the case. All right? The Bible says, "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." All right? And there were some times that I got love that I didn't think I deserved. Said, "Lord, that was Roger that did that. That wasn't me." But, you know, Dad would always come back with a retort, "Well, you probably are getting it for something that I missed." Yeah. Well, thank you, Dad. I want you to remember that the next time, because I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to bring it up, Dad. You remember that spanking that you said that I was getting for that? We're already caught up. All right. Well, I'm thankful for the discipline that I had growing up. And I'm thankful that I learned the lessons that I needed to learn that would set me in good stead for life and living. But you know what? We need to understand something. You won't get that if you're not studying God's Word. Do you know how many times that in my own heart and life I've been steered away from making some action or making some decision because I studied God's Word? And the Word just came at that moment that I needed instruction, and He steered me away from a decision or a choice that it would have been detrimental. But because God's Word was alive in my heart and life at that moment, He spared me from that. I think all of us, we could go around the room tonight and all of us raise our hands and say, I know that's true. The Lord has directed me in a different way because of the study of His Word. But if you ignore His Word, where's the instruction going to come from? "And I'm just going to feel my way through life." Well, we know how that works. We see it demonstrated every day. People feeling their way through life. Just trust your heart. That's the last thing you ought to be trusting in. Just trust your heart. Go with what your heart tells you. My Bible tells me in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And if you go on to the next verse, it says, God knows. He trieth the reins of the heart. He knows what kind of heart you have. And He knows exactly where your heart will lead you. Destruction. And He says, don't trust your heart. Culture and society says, trust your heart. Trust your heart. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Stay in God's Word so you can be directed back on the path. You know, the Bible, as you walk through it, has all kinds of caution signs, stoplights, green lights. It's like walking a highway. By the way, life is compared to as a path. Yeah. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me." Listen, folks. This is real. This is more real than the sun coming up tomorrow morning. It's more real than knowing that we got a front coming through. It's going to change our temperature and make it cold. There's something more real than that. And it's the written Word of God. I want to share with you just a page of thoughts here that the Lord has laid on my heart about the dual nature of the Scripture. If the Word is Jesus Christ, then there must be an understanding that there is the divine nature of the Word and there is also that human aspect. Do you realize that God chose to communicate His Word in three different languages, and today it's been translated into hundreds upon thousands of languages? It was given to us in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. All of those are human languages. We have a Bible that's been translated into English. There was a lot of bloodshed so that you and I could possess a copy of God's Word tonight. That's why it bothers me. Dr. Hobbs used to get upset whenever he'd see people with stuff piled on the Bible. I get upset too. Now, we don't worship pages and books, but I want to tell you something. This has the Word of God, and it needs to be treated with respect. It ought to be put on the top. It ought not to be neglected on some dashboard of a car or a truck, and we pull it off on Sunday, bring it to church. It ought to be something that we spend time in each and every day, because this book is divine. It is the words of God to us. I want you to look at the divine nature. And we're just going to touch on this because we're going to finish up here in just a few moments. But the Bible is the living Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that the Word of God is quick. To put it in our language, it's alive. Have you ever snuck up on something, an animal that you thought was dead, and you found out it was alive? I'll never forget working over at Dr. Hobbs whenever I was a teenager. Was over working on a Saturday, and he said, I want this wood pile. Most of this wood's rotted. I'm going to take it over here. I'm going to burn it, so if you grab it. And I pulled it over there, and there was a possum that was buried down in those logs, and he looked like he was dead. Okay? Now, if you know anything about a possum, they love to sleep. And they love to pretend. And that possum down in that pile knew somebody was moving wood. So he puts on a little show of sleeping. So I went over there and I grabbed it up by the tail. Big mistake. I got a hiss and I saw more teeth than I could count. All right? Now, if you know anything about possums, they're like a shark with four legs. They have got teeth, and they will bite. They're nasty little things when you get them upset. And I took off running because I knew possums couldn't run as fast as I could run. And next thing I know, Dr. Hobbs's dog, and I think it was Tater at the time, I'm not sure which one of them, it was one of their poodles, took off after that possum, and there was a fight that commenced out in the yard. I had never seen it. Before long, that poodle had won that battle. Now, we've all been deceived by something we thought was dead and it was alive. But I want you to know something. The Word of God is alive. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces down even to dividing asunder of the joints and the marrow. And what else does it say? The dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I don't understand how all those things work, but I know one thing. The Word of God can divide and tell me the difference. You see, the Word of God is alive. The Bible is divine revelation. It's divine revelation. It comes from God, from heaven, to us. So it comes from God. Thirdly, the Bible has eternal relevance. Do you realize that it's this book that we're going to be judged by when we stand in the presence of God? The Bible says that the book shall be opened. What books? This book right here. You need to understand something. This book was given to us, but we're going to be judged according to it. Every idle word, the Bible says, will be brought into account. And what is going to be the standard that's used for our words? This book. Every book of the Bible has historic peculiarity, that is, each document is conditioned by language, time, and culture in which it was originally orally given or written. All right? God's Word was given. However, Because it is divine. History, language, time, and culture does not in any way diminish its divinity. Don't ever let this sink down in your mind and in your thinking that it's something lower than the Word of God. Now that's the divine nature. Next time we're going to get into the human aspect of the Word and how God chose language, the language of people on this earth, to communicate His Word and to preserve His Word in so many different languages that every human on this earth would be able to know the Word of God. I'm so excited because just recently I heard that the Cambodian language was codified. They finished the New Testament. They're almost done with the Old Testament. And for the first time, the Cambodian people will have the written Word of God in their language. It's been communicated orally to them for 100 years now. But for the first time, it's going to be in a written language. And they'll have God's Word. Isn't that wonderful? Do you realize, though, that there are still thousands of dialects that the Word of God has not been translated into? And the only thing that they have is the oral Word of God given to them? We need to pray that God's Word can be translated into as many languages as God will bring glory unto Himself in doing so, that people might have the written, revealed Word of God. The Word of God is alive. Is it alive in your heart tonight? Father in heaven, I thank You so much for the opportunity that we've had tonight to just take a moment to look at Your Word and what You've shared in the book of John. There's so many other things that we're going to point out about the written Word of God. And I pray that we might allow Your Word to live in our hearts and lives. That's how we grow. That's how we're strengthened. That's how we access the grace that You give. It's through the Word of God. And so, Father, I pray that You would help us in this regard. May we live each and every day for Your honor and glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.